Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix, May 16th. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
I am Iyanla. I had a baby-daddy relationship. I spent time in a relationship with a married man. I had to learn the skills and tools required to make my relationships healthy, fulfilling, and loving. Welcome to The R-Spot, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. When there's a breakdown in a relationship, it's hard on the people involved. But here's the truth. It is even harder on the people watching. It's harder because they don't know if they have to pick a side. They can see who's responsible for what, but they can't always say it. It's hard on the people watching the breakdown, and they become collateral damage. But they have to have clear boundaries. And they have to know where they can and cannot tread. They have to know that the relationship can be healed, but the only way it can be healed is if the people involved in the breakdown are willing. And when they're not willing, the people who are watching the breakdown just have to stop watching. Turn your head in another direction. Don't look. If it's hard to look at, look somewhere else. And that doesn't mean that you don't act like it's not going on, but you just don't stick your opinion in it at all. You've got to know that no matter how bad it looks, a relationship can be healed. And you may not be the vehicle through which it is healed. Welcome to the R-Spot, beloved. Thank you for your patience. Now, what is your challenge, issue, dilemma, problem that we can nibble on together today?
Hi, yes, ma'am. I'm a father of 4. My oldest daughter is currently estranged from a relationship with her mom. She's 24 years old. And early on, me and her mom went through a separation divorce, and she was out of my life for approximately 5 years. Based on things that happened immediately following a divorce. It took me an additional 5 years just for us to get into a really good, comfortable space. And unfortunately, the downside is that she no longer has a relationship with her mother. The major dilemma that I would like to address is that I would love for her to be able to have both parents in her life at the same time. She's always stated to me, try to not get involved and try to mend fences. And I try to follow that to the T because that's what she said she wants. But part of me, especially how I was raised with both parents, it still is an unsettled feeling for myself.
Yeah. First of all, I want you to take a breath.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know if you're nervous or you're moving or what's going on, but take a breath.
Nervous.
Yeah. No, don't nervous. Be nervous. Don't be nervous. Think of me as your older sister.
Okay. Will do for sure.
I have no heat, no judgment. I just want to support you in being the best that you can be. What a blessing that your baby girl has her dad in her life.
Okay. Thank you.
There are so many women who would give their two front teeth to have their dad in their life. So she's blessed. And
thank you.
I think it sounds like she's very important to you. So I want to support you and being there for her and being the best that you can be. So it sounds like your greatest challenge here is that your 24-year-old daughter, with whom you now have a relationship after being absent, is estranged from her mom.
Yes, ma'am.
You're wanting to know how you can support her in being in relationship with her mom. Is that it?
That's correct.
how does her being estranged from her mother show up in her life? How is it affecting her? How is it impacting her?
Just recently, she got married. My daughter did, just this past December. And what I noticed during that time frame, we try to call each other at least one or two times per week. She would speak about her mother and had not done so in a while. And currently, every time I'm on the phone with her, she brings up her mother one way or the other. My greatest fear is I don't want her to feel betrayed by me, but that's usually how it shows up currently.
Are you in relationship with the mother?
No, we do not have a relationship. It was a very difficult divorce that took place, and we don't talk at all. The last time I saw her is our youngest son's graduation, and that's actually the last time I actually talked to her. So that was about 3 years ago.
Are you in relationship with all of the children?
Yes, currently. My youngest daughter, she was the last one that came on board. We started talking just this past December. And there was a 3-year break of us not talking that just restarted in December.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see if I can put it to you this way. You're not looking at your daughter not being estranged from her mother. You're looking at two women in breakdown. You've got to hold it like that in your mind. This is two women.
Definitely.
Don't put your foot in that at all, because as a man, you can't even begin to understand the intricate details of a breakdown between two women. You cannot, because most of the time we can't understand it. What you can do is be there for your daughter. Listen to your daughter. Offer her words of wisdom. If she just got married, did the mother go to the wedding?
No.
Oh, yeah. So your daughter's really hurting. She's in a lot of pain. Does she have children?
No, no children. She said that may be part of the future, which is a change from what she originally said, that that was never going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, but she's going to have her first baby without her mother, and that's going to be a problem for her. And the thing that you can weigh in the door is, I understand that you're upset and separated from your mom, but what are some of the things that she did that you don't want to do? Because that's going to be a question. You know, she's probably trying so hard not to be like her mother. Do you know why they separated? What was the breakdown about?
It's something that kind of brewed over time, period. I can say that the very last straw is that my daughter is biracial. Her mother is Caucasian. I'm Black. And certain traditions stayed around the house after I left, and they were talking politics. She was in her second or third year in school, and there was a discussion about at the table. They were just talking about war and veteran stuff. My daughter has a very straight, hard line. And the Sam, when it comes to it, she supports her dad. She loves her dad, the veteran, but she has a hard line about war and the military itself. And her mother looked at her and says, "You're an angry Black woman."
Ooh, yeah. Hold up. This white lady told her daughter, "You're an angry Black woman."
Yeah, she did.
Bless her heart.
I think how it was termed is more of a question. She's like, "I don't know what happened to my daughter, but why are you such an angry Black woman?" And there was mixed company at the table. My ex-wife's boyfriend was there at the table when she said that, and her siblings at the table. And I know that played a larger role into the separation. I think that's the mark where things changed.
Wow. That gives this a whole new flavor. But I'm not going to move off my original point. Daddy, you can't put your foot in this at all. Not at all. And now you really can't put your foot in it.
Right.
You got a white woman and a Black woman and upset. Oh, my goodness. Are the other children in relationship with their mom?
My youngest son just recently broke away from his mom, and that was a pretty surprising event that took place when it happened. But my son, he's one of the two that don't have a current relationship with their mom.
Wow. It sounds to me, and I don't know this to be true because I'm sure she has her perspective, but it sounds to me like mom might need to do some work and that she might be the focus of attention. And again, all you can do is support her. I don't know how that feels to have your mother ask you such a question. I know in this day and age, being biracial is a lot easier than it was in my time.
Yes, ma'am.
But still to have that come out of your mother's mouth is, I don't even know what that is. I don't know what the word for it is. But if you have children, are you going to let your mom see them? Do you know how important a grandmother is in a grandchild's life? Mothers love their children. Grandmothers adore them. You just have to think about it. These are things that you can just broach with her. When you talk to her about her mom, what does she say?
There are certain discussions that pop up. Like I found a bunch of pictures from her childhood, and I started sending messages. And of course, she wouldn't remember them. And she'd find herself next to someone in the picture, and she would say, "Hey, Dad, who's this? Is this my real mother?" In her mind, I don't know why my own mother doesn't like me. For about 2 years, she wouldn't even bring up her mother in a discussion. But since the wedding, these things become more questioned. And I think she's just trying to figure out what happened regarding her relationship with her mom.
And she says to you, stay out of it, right?
Yes. She's like, "Dad, I love you, but this, you can't help this. I don't want you to. If me and my mother are going to resolve things, it has to be done by her choice, and she has to make that first step."
The mother has to make the first step?
Correct.
Yeah. Again, all you can do is offer words of wisdom. When the time comes and you have your first child, you know, you're going to want your mom there. So I hope you can resolve whatever this difficulty is before then. Or when you have problems in your marriage, if you have questions or challenges, you want your mom to be a soft place for you to fall.
Right.
I hope that you will think about those things. But I agree with her. Don't put your foot in that, particularly if you and her mother didn't part on good company, on good terms. Just be there for her, Daddy. So you, when she has her first baby, you have to go.
Okay, we'll do.
With your iPhone and take the pictures.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely.
This is a little subversive, but you can do this. When, you know, things happen, send them to the mom. Can you do that? Just wanted to share this with you.
I can.
Did you share wedding pictures with her?
I did not. That was one of those things she specifically said, don't do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Honor that. And just know, if nothing else, this is not about your daughter being in breakdown with her mother. Take it off of that, because that's going to pull a heartstring for you. This is about two women in breakdown. And really, there really is nothing that you can do, particularly because your daughter has said, stay out of it. Honor that.
Will do.
Honor that. Well, I'm glad she's got you, Daddy.
Thank
I'm glad
so
she's got you.
One of the greatest joys of my life, so I am thankful.
And I don't know if you're a praying man, but I would pray about it.
I will. I will definitely.
Ask the angels, the guardians, the ancestors, the guide to bring this to healing for the highest good of everybody involved. Okay?
Will do, for sure.
All right,
thank
my
you
love.
So much.
Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
I don't have many broken relationships in my life, but one that is broken for me is my relationship with my youngest daughter. And as a mom, It is heartbreaking, gut-wrenching to know that my baby girl is out there in the world and doesn't want me to be a part of her life. But as a woman, I have to respect her choice. I'm her mother. And the power don't run up, it runs down. So if she has made the choice that she'd rather be out in the world without her mom, if I'm not a soft place for her to fall, if she can't trust my voice and my intentions, then maybe it's just best that we not be in relationship. And just like my last guest, I'm sure it's really hard on the people watching, but all I can do is hold a space for her. Because sometimes the healing is in letting it go. And even though the people watching and the people all around you, they try to give you suggestions and recommendations, just tell them, shh, shh, shh. I'm willing to be totally and completely responsible, but I'm letting go. Now, my next caller is dealing with the same issue, but as long as you hold on, healing can happen. We'll talk to her when we come back.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Welcome back to the R Spot. We are continuing our conversation about letting go until the healing happens. Thank you for calling the R Spot. Now, what is your relationship challenge, issue, dilemma that I can support you in today?
I've been watching my closest family members, the closest to me, fall apart, so to speak, within the past 3 years. We lost one family member to suicide. One had a heart condition that took him pretty quickly, and some others that have exhibited mental illness. And I have what I call like Superman complex, where I want to fix things, and I want to fix things I don't have control over, especially as it relates to my loved ones. And I've noticed that the connection that we've had as a family is, you know, fading because of these things. And it's had a profound effect on me, especially as a new mother. I just had a baby recently. So I'm looking to know how I can best navigate this, because I'm watching the ones that I love most sink into depression, addiction, hopelessness, and I feel helpless myself. I do listen to your show, and I know you talk a lot about faith, but prayer, it doesn't feel like it's always enough. And these are people I interact with every day.
Oh my goodness. Do you have a pencil and a piece of paper?
I could get one.
Okay. Then I don't want you to have to do that, because you've been holding so long. So I want you to hear this. I'm going to write it down for you.
Okay.
Frightened control freak. Did you hear what I said?
Frightened control freak.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Didn't think I was going there, did you?
No. Control freak is not good.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not good at all. And I think the most disturbing thing I heard you say was the prayer doesn't seem like it's enough. So that says to me, not only is there a little manic control freak running around someplace in the left quadrant of your brain, you also have a predetermined scenario of what you think this should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're praying and it still looks the same, how do you know what that person's spiritual contract is and what they have to go through and what they have to experience in order to get to where they need to be? It may look like addiction. It may look like depression. It may look like hopelessness. But how do you know in the midst of your prayer that's it, not exactly what it needs to look like right now to get to where they need to be? How do you know that?
I don't know that, but it's sometimes hard to think about the journey when I'm so scared and feel like I'm watching something dangerous happen.
That's the other part, the frightened part. But you see, mm-hmm. there are only two emotions that matter. The first one is love, and the second one is fear.
Mm.
And when you are in fear, you cannot be in love. Because no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So you're mm-hmm. in fear because it doesn't look like you think it should look, and you don't feel or know what to do about it. That's creating stress for you, new mama.
It definitely is.
So I want to share with you two things, and maybe one of them will fit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I had a very dear friend. Actually, she was one of my students, and I loved her dearly. And she was in the throes of a crippling depression, crippling, almost to the point where she wouldn't comb her hair every day. But she kept getting up and she kept coming to class. Sometimes she would come to class and just weep. She would try to get the work done and couldn't get the work done. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh my God, what do I do?
Right.
So I did what I know how to do best, which is pray. Help her, God. Show me what to do. That was really my prayer. I didn't even say help her, God. Tell the truth. I'm telling the truth. Okay. I would say, show me what to do. What do I need to do? How can I help her? And to me, it looked like it was getting worse. To the point where if I didn't hear from her like in 3 or 4 days, I'd send people to call and check on her and make sure she hadn't harmed herself. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
Until one day I was praying, and what came to me is you're praying the wrong prayer. You're asking your creator, your source, what you need to do to fix this, as opposed to turning it over and letting creator source God fix it. I said, oh my goodness. So I changed my prayer to, I'm placing her in your hands. I know you love her. I don't like what this looks like. I don't like what it feels like. And I prayed that prayer. And after, I don't know, maybe a month or two, you know what I heard?
What?
I heard this. I'll meet her on the other side. I was like, whoa. I'll meet her on the other side. So that let me know two things. Number one, my prayer had been heard. And number two, she was going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was too hard for me to look at, I stopped looking. I kept praying, but I stopped looking. I stopped looking. I stopped calling. I stopped worrying. I stopped making up all kind of horrifying scenarios in my mind about her harming herself, or ended up homeless on the street, eating cat food, all of the stuff that I was tormenting myself with. I stopped it.
I've been there.
Because I had that word. Yeah, yeah. I'll meet her on the other side. That also told me that something greater than me was in it with her. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It does. It takes a profound amount of letting go to get there.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I had to really embrace, particularly, you said you're a new mama. I'm an old mama. When my youngins, when my pups, when my babies were going through a difficult time, and I was twisting myself in a pretzel trying to keep them from hitting rock bottom. Because to me, rock bottom, they were looking at rock bottom. Okay. Mm-hmm. And as mama, I want to fix it, change it, throw money at it, throw people at it, everything to fix it and change it. Until I was reading something one day and I came across this line. And it said, it's very hard to watch your loved ones hit rock bottom until you remember that God made the rock.
Wow.
And what I took from that was, maybe they've got to get down there to find their strength, their faith, their trust, their relationship with God. That's when they are going to have to pray for themselves. See, we don't know what anybody's spiritual contract is. We don't know what they came here to learn or do or accomplish. Mm. And as long as we're afraid, it's saying two things. That we don't believe, first of all, that God can save them. And second of all, that they have the wherewithal to save themselves.
Since we've had a suicide, I think that kind of took away my ability in a way to see that someone could save themselves. But I sometimes just imagine the worst case scenario. If someone goes through enough suffering, they'll take themselves away.
People don't commit suicide because they want to die. People commit suicide because they don't know how to live. They don't know how to end the pain. They don't really want to die. They just haven't prayed the prayer or found the way or found the fortitude, whatever it is required to move through the pain. So to end the pain, they end their lives. But there's always a way to end the pain. And one person committing suicide, as challenging and difficult as it is, that may have been their contract. That has nothing to do with anybody else. But you got to give up this control piece. I don't know which is worse, the control or the fear.
It's a horrible combination, too.
It's like drinking poison, expecting somebody else to die. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
We'll talk about that right after this break.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Welcome back to the R Spot. Let's get back to the conversation. This is going to sound horrible, but it's the only way I know you're going to get out of this. It's to see the worst and work yourself through it. See the worst and work yourself through it. What that means is, let's say I heard you say something about drug abuse. So let's say that person is strung out or out on the streets and, you know, gets beat up or gets arrested or, God forbid, overdoses. How would you feel? How would you feel? Work yourself through that so that you can clear that out, because you're not going to be able to see anything higher as long as you're fighting against acknowledging the lower. And if you love these people, love them enough to see them higher, even though your eyes are looking at rock bottom. Remember who made the rock. Love them enough to see them higher. I know you can do this. I know you've got the strength in there. And I'm calling it forward in you right now. You're better than this. You're more than this. And you may have to pray that prayer for a long time, but God will meet him on the other side.
I never thought about it that way.
That's because you've let your control freak run amok.
I just want it to be right.
It is right, because that's what it is. That's mm-hmm. what it is right now. And it is right. Can it get better? Yes.
Right.
These people weren't always like this. Is that accurate?
That's true. Yes.
Yeah. So where is that that kept it at bay for so long?
Yeah. I just love them so much. I know I never imagined that my own family, my closest family members would, so many of them would be in this state.
Well, love them enough to know that this is what they have to go through at this time. Stop thinking that you know where they should be, because you don't. This is mm-hmm. where they are. And it's hard. Hear me. It's hard. And don't try to talk them out of it, shame them in it. You know, it's a simple statement. I see so much better for you. And I'm praying mm-hmm. that you get there. Simple.
If you don't mind me asking, how many times a day do you pray?
I pray all day. I'm praying right now. I'm praying for you. I don't have to stop and kneel down and go in the corner, and I don't have to do that, because I know that every thought I think is a prayer.
Mm.
Every word I speak is a prayer. That's why I say to you, go to the worst, work yourself through it and get higher, because you thinking or trying not to think about the worst possible outcome, that's a prayer.
Right.
That's a prayer. Every thought is a prayer. And this is horrible. That's a prayer. You're sending mm-hmm. that energy out. Oh my God, they shouldn't be like this. That's a prayer. And so is this is getting better. May not look better right now, but this is shifting. This is turning around, and I'm so grateful. And it may be hard based on what you're looking at, but you mm-hmm. want to send that prayer out there too.
Right.
I'm praying for you and your new baby.
Thank you so much.
That you can take some of this energy that you're dispensing over things you can't control and turn it on your baby. And I'm praying that you elevate that fear into love, real true love. And know that the same creator that holds you near holds them near. We don't know the good that's on the other side of this. We just mm-hmm. don't. And it's hard to look at.
Right.
My brother was cross-addicted to drugs and alcohol. And after a while, I just stopped looking. I couldn't look no more. I stopped looking.
Wow.
Thinking every day he's going to get better. He's going to get better. I stopped.
And how long did it take you to get there? Or it's just a natural thing? You just got there?
No. He was my older brother, addicted to drugs and alcohol from the time he was 16 years old. And I didn't stop looking until we were like in our 40s.
Wow.
But I just couldn't look no more. I couldn't look. I told him, don't call me. Don't call me. If this is how you want to be, don't call me. And that was really hard. And he didn't call for 5 years.
That's a long time. Very long time. Seeing as it stands, I'd be a nervous wreck that entire 5 years.
That's the control freak in you. Got to put her to rest. Because really, what can you do? What can you do? My brother never came to me and said, will you help me with my addiction? Never. He'd come to me and say, can I have some money? He never said, I want to stop using. Can you help me?
No, they rarely do. And then I guess in separating myself from it, I used to think separating myself from it was just as bad as being around everyone and wishing I could help. And I feel like what you've given me is a medium, is a place that maybe I can be in, because it was pulling me both sides.
Yeah. And I would say again, in your prayers and in your affirmations or in your positive mind state, whatever you want to call it, turn it over. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge your frailty. I know there's nothing I can do about this. So I'm turning it over to something greater than me, greater than them.
Right. Okay.
It's going to be okay. Whatever it is, it's going to be okay. And don't awfulize. Don't expect the worst. Because it sounds like you're doing that too. You're traumatizing yourself.
Yeah, I do.
You have a frightened control freak running amok in your mind. Give her a name and give her something else to do. I know what you can give her to do. You want to give her something else to do?
Please.
Send her to the House of Representatives. In Washington. Tell her to teach them how to vote for the good of the people. Okay, let her work on that.
Okay.
Send her right down to Washington, D.C. and let her wrangle up them politicians down there. Let her work on that. So anytime you start thinking about how horrible this is in your family, whoop, get on the bus, go to D.C., go down to the House of Representatives, go into the Senate, go somewhere, go over there and work with them people. Leave me alone.
Send her away. Okay.
Let her wrangle that up. Yeah. Just send her, give her a name, tell her, Betty, I need you to go down to D.C. They need you in the Senate right now. They're trying to make some bills. Go down there, work on them. Leave me alone.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Strengthen your prayers, beloved. Strengthen your prayers and get out of the middle of it.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your patience.
Of course.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Loving people and wanting the best for them is a very different thing than trying to control what they do. And sometimes when we love people and we want the best for them, we also think that we know how to bring their best about. And that's not always true. And when we don't make the distinction between loving people and controlling people, between wanting the best for some people, those people that we love, and trying to make it look the way we think it should look, when we don't make that distinction, we create unnecessary stress for ourselves, and that stress will impact the relationship. Loving somebody and controlling somebody, two completely different things. And if you love somebody, you want to see the best for them, hold the best for them, know the best for them without trying to make it happen the way you think it's supposed to happen. I hope this has been helpful to someone. And if you have a question about this or any other relationship issue, you can call me live at 775-307-7768. Now be sure to follow me on social media for all of the call-in times. And until then, stay in peace, not pieces. The R-Spot is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.